I ask that you'd pray with me as we begin our study this morning, and that God would speak to all of our hearts, and that He would have His perfect will in our lives. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the great privilege we have to come to Thee and to ask again. You asked us in Your Word. You said, "Ask, and you shall receive; seek, and you shall find; knock, and shall be opened unto you." You've commanded us to pray, pray without ceasing. And we ask, Father, this morning for Your presence in this auditorium. And we know, Father, that You inhabit eternity, but we also know You enter into time. And we pray, Father, You be so kind and gracious to visit with us this morning in this place. And Lord, we all come from different backgrounds, different understanding, different mindsets, different upbringings, different cultures. And Father, it's our desire for You to speak to all of us as only You can. We pray that Thy Word and Thy Spirit would do a mighty work. We pray that You revive Your people and give us, Father, the understanding and the mindset we're to have. We pray, Lord, for those who are lost, that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we would ask that You remove the confusion, open up our understanding, and, Father, give us great victories today for Thy name's sake. And, Father, You deserve all the glory in this. You're worthy. We pray, Father, You'd receive it. Now help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then some sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you. You may be seated. Now, understand the letter here to the Thessalonians. When Paul wrote this, Paul did not write chapters or verses. That was added later on, which we're thankful for us being able to find these references. But understand that when Paul wrote the letter, it just flowed. Chapter 4, just go back a little bit, Paul is speaking about the taking away of the saints, otherwise known as the rapture. And Paul is writing here to inform this church, which there was some confusion. He was informing this church of their need to understand properly the next thing prophetically to take place. Now, Paul refers to a prior revelation. He says in verse 1, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." So the apostle not only used the Old Testament prophetic verses, but the teaching of Jesus during his ministry, and then along with what he was taught, and for sure they understood the times and seasons. And then we find in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." And so we find here that the apostle understood that some prophecy, understood what was going to take place and what was next. And so we see that the apostle in this epistle to the Thessalonians deals with what is known as the second coming. But we find it through all the chapters. We find in chapter 1, and Paul deals with second coming and salvation. Chapter 2, the second coming and the Christian and service. Chapter 3, the second coming, the Christian and sanctification. Chapter 4, the second coming, the Christian and surety. And then chapter 5, the second coming and the Christian safety. And the safety is that God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now, I know there's a lot of beliefs going on in our world today. And among the religious, there's what is known as the mid-tribulation rapture. There's a post-tribulation rapture. The Bible doesn't teach that, beloved.
The Bible does not teach that. It teaches a pre-wrath rapture. Amen. We believe that before the tribulation takes place, that we will be taken out of this world. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But notice the second thing Paul mentions here, not only prior revelation, but the perfect revelation. Verse 2, he says, "For yourselves know perfectly." Now, Paul had instructed the church on the day of the Lord, and they were well versed in this. He says perfectly, in other words, accurately. Now, again, today, some believe that history has a cyclical view. In other words, they say that man just keeps repeating himself. Life is a continual cycle of life and death. Nothing changes. It just goes on. The idea is it's just a belief of life just continues. Nothing changes. Remember, Peter says that in the last days he'll say that all things continue from our fathers. Nothing's changed, and so on. Then there's others who believe in an atheistic naturalism. And they believe that history is linear. In other words, there's no changes. It's non-repetitive. There really isn't any reason for history. There's no meaning because we are evolving. And the infamous evolutionist, atheist Richard Dawkins, said evolution has no long-term goal. There's no long-distance target, no final perfection to serve as a criterion for selection. Although human vanity cherishes the absurd notion that our species is the final goal of evolution. So what he's saying is that because we're evolving, we're not the end result, that we can become something different. But both of those views on history and life are false. And the Bible teaches that God has created us, and He created us with a purpose. The biblical view is the right view, is the truth. The first two views are hopeless and purposeless. And the Bible teaches that there's a sovereign God who has a plan from eternity past. And one of the things that stands out about God's plan and purposes is the reconciliation of man back to God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the restoration of all things. And listen to this verse here, Isaiah 46:10. "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." In verse 11, "Yea, I have spoken, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." Now our text of the taking away of the saints and then the tribulation period, really the world's religions, governments, they despise these promises by God. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what man says, because the Lord's Word tells us what's going to take place, what's going to happen, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what man says is going to happen. You know, for instance, Ahmadinejad, the president, I believe, of Iran, he says they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Now, everyone's all up in arms on Israel. They're not going to fight anything. God says that Israel's going to be around. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what the threats are. It doesn't matter how many nuclear weapons they have on the border. If they have a gazillion to one, it doesn't matter. Because God said that Israel is not going to be wiped off the face of the earth, that they're going to make it through the tribulation period, many of them be saved, and then God's going to restore all things back during the millennium. So we don't have to worry about these things. You say, what if? What, I know God says, but what if? And what, you know, it doesn't matter what ifs. God said it, and that settles it. Amen? Now we find here that it's important to understand what is next on God's prophetic calendar. The first thing we see this morning is in verse 1, the day of Christ. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Now, the times and the seasons are very similar, and yet they're different. When it says times, it speaks of a clock or a calendar or chronological time. And the time of the taking away of the saints, the day of the Lord, is upon us. And these things are chronological. In other words, as soon as the rapture takes place, I mean the moment We believe that the tribulation period will have begun. And we believe the Bible is very clear about that. Now, how do we know that? Because of the way God has written His Word about these things. When you think about the taking away of the saints, think about the book of Revelation. Now, the Bible was not written chronologically in its entirety. We know that God starts off with how we got here in creation. God gives us the history of Israel, how they became a nation in their history. Then there was 400 silent years or so, and John the Baptist burst on the scene, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Son of God came with the same message after John was in prison. We find where Jesus started His church. We find where what is known as the Day of Grace or the Gospel Ministry or the Church Age, however you want to define it, this is the period of time we're in right now. And then when you look at Revelation, the first three chapters deal with our time period. And then we find seven letters to seven real churches. And then when you get to chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 1, John says, "I heard of a trumpet speak to me." And what did the trumpet say? Someone tell me. "Come up hither." Now, beloved, to me, that is a picture of the rapture. What do we just, we didn't read it, but in chapter 4, that's exactly, there's a shout, there's a trumpet, and "come up hither." And then from chapter 6 to chapter 19 of Revelation, 4 and 5 are heavenly scenes, which I believe is part of the judgment seat of Christ. From chapter 6 to chapter 19, primarily, it is dealing with the tribulation period, the 21 judgments that God's going to send upon this earth. There's no place during that period of time where we see a rapture. We see it in chapter 4, verse 1. And then we see the judgment of God upon this earth. And it opens up, we'll see in a moment, with the Antichrist. Next thing you see in chapter 19 is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The judgment seat is over. Jesus marries His church. And then He's off to work. And He mounts His white horse and He goes down to earth. And He judges a nation. There's bloodshed. And that gives the world an understanding that something unusual is going to happen. And all of a sudden, the world army appears at the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus comes back and there's blood. And He mounts up ten thousands of saints upon white horses. You say, "What are we going to do, preacher? We're going to fight?" We're going to watch. We're going to watch and enjoy God slaughtering. You say, "Oh, that... how could you say?" Because they're enemies of God. That's how I could say it. They're people who rejected the gospel. They're people who said no to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They're people who, as much as they are being persecuted and judged and so on, rebelled and said, "We will not repent." No different than the gospel message where Jesus said, the man said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." We're going to see the devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to shout. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise God when that happens. And you're going to see a slaughter like you've never seen before. But it's going to be righteous. It's going to be righteous. It's not the slaughter we see in our worlds today. That's right. All the different wars down the ages, most of them have been unrighteous. Are you listening? Most of them have been unrighteous. But we're going to see a righteous battle. And it's going to be one-sided. It's going to be one-sided. We're going to win. We are going to enjoy that. Jesus is going to land upon Mount of Olives. The Jews are running for their lives. We find where multitudes are going to be saved. There's going to be the judgment of the nations. Those who are pro-Israel, those who are against Israel. God's going to judge them. And then we're going to enter into the millennial reign of Christ. I'm looking forward to that, beloved. I'm looking forward to that, living 1,000 years with Jesus Christ on earth. He's going to rule from Jerusalem. Say, what are we going to do during that time? I know one thing the Bible says, we're going to rest. Isn't that great? We're going to rest. None of us are going to have achy bones, no problems, no illnesses, no pulled teeth, no wiring. Amen? No copy machines, Randall? Isn't that great? No copy net? Isn't that great? No taxes? Yeah, there we go. Now it's time to get the amen section going here. No taxes, no sickness, no graves. I mean, there's no thieves. Anyone who tries anything, there's going to be lost people on earth. They try anything, God, the Bible says, is going to reign with a rod of iron. And He knows everything. There's not going to be, oh, we missed that one. Or, we have to find this one. He knows everything that's going on. He's going to put a kibosh to it. Amen? That's a Hebrew word, a kibosh. So anyway, we find here that that's the next thing. Then after the 1,000-year millennial reign is the great white throne judgment. And then eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we would have a part in that. The time, speaking of the order of prophecy. And then the book of Revelation is the, what God gives us to see these things. And it ends in chapter 21, 22. The new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. God's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. And then we're going to live with Him forever in His heaven. That new Jerusalem. Now God promises deliverance for His people. I want you to see this. Notice verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. There's this idea that we're going to go through part of the tribulation is absolute foolishness. It's not taught in the Word of God. Notice chapter 1, if you would, verse 10. This interprets verse 9 of chapter 5. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we find here that God is delivering us from wrath. And then the second thing, we not only see the times, but notice the seasons. Back in our text, He mentions here in verse 1, but of the times and seasons, and the events or the season of the Lord's return. Now, Israel became a nation in 1947. The Bible says within a generation, the Lord's going to return. Now, the question, what's the generation? Some people thought it was 40 years. It wasn't, because we're still here. Some people think 120 years. I don't believe it is. I believe it's 70 years. And we're in the season of the Lord's return. Of course, it was a Jewish calendar, which we have a Roman calendar or a Greek calendar. The thought here is this. I think it's Roman. But the thought here is this, is that it's 70 years from 1947 to bring us to 2017. And we know this, that we're in the season of the Lord's return. Now, turn with me back to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew 24. And we're going to have to speed this up just a tad. Notice Matthew 24. And Jesus here is teaching about the last days and about the tribulation period. And this is primarily taught to the nation of Israel. Not that it doesn't apply to Gentiles, but this is who God is dealing with in this chapter primarily. Notice He mentions false Christ in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now listen to this. This is so important, beloved. You've got to be on guard that no man deceives you. One of the blessings of our church is what? We all have Bibles on our laps. Take your Bibles, turn here. Why? I have nothing to hide. Amen. What I'm going to show you comes right from the Word of God. But there are people on TV, and I would say majority, if not all of them, in our area are false prophets. False teachers. You need to be very careful, beloved. I recommend to you not to be cultish, but to say, take heed. That no man deceive you. It's not what a man says. Many times it's what he doesn't say. And a lot of these men are just false. Same with the women. But notice He says, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet. Now we see false Christianity. We also see a national, international conflict. Notice verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. That's the next thing. Natural disasters. Now I want you to think, beloved, what's going on in our country. God said to Israel time and time again, you see these things? It's My judgment against you. Flooding. Hurricanes, tornadoes. Pestilence. You think about tsunamis. We mentioned the earthquakes. Think about all the things that just affected our country. Think about what's affected the world. And these things have increased over the last 150 years, 200 years. They've increased. You think of every spring and fall we hear about Tornado Alley. Towns wiped out. I mean, these things are happening, and they're happening far more today than ever before. Why? We're in the season of the Lord's return. These are things that God said look for. Notice chapter 21 of Luke, if you would. Keep a marker there in Matthew, Luke 21. And notice verse 11. And the Bible says here in verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places or strange places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. I mean, just a year and a half ago, there was an earthquake in northern Virginia. Shook the island. I never heard of an earthquake in Long Island. But things have changed. Tornadoes during snowstorms. Touching down. These things, beloved, are not... they're strange places. Then you find here, the Bible speaks about persecution back here in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 9 and 10. And the Bible says, then they shall deliver you up and be afflicted and shall kill you, and they shall be hated... and you shall be hated for of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall they many be offended, and shall betray many one another, and shall hate one another. This is our age. People hating one another, persecuting one another, all because of ideology. And the crazy thing about it, and the people have such hatred for biblical Christianity, I just scratch my head. And when's the last time we beheaded someone? When's the last time we burned down a village? When's the last time that we threw people in jail for being a different belief system than being a Bible-believing Baptist? Well, we don't do stuff like that. We believe in freedom. We want freedom. Freedom of soul, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom. Amen? Notice, if you would, in verse 12, abounding sin, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's extensive gospel preaching, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I mean, you think about where the gospel's been preached. It's been preached everywhere. It hasn't been received everywhere, but it's been preached. And notice, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's turn there quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and notice, if you would, what Paul says here to Timothy concerning the last days. And he says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Notice chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away the ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So we see the day of Christ as we go back to our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But the second thing we see in verse 2 and 3 is the day of the Lord. So the day of Christ is the return of Christ. And we're in the season of His return. Now understand this, beloved. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. And what we mean by that Jesus could come back at any moment. We believe Jesus could have came back in Paul's time if he wanted to. You say, well, preacher, Israel was a nation. We believe Jesus could come back and he could come back right now. You say, well, I believe some things have to take place. They don't have to. God can change things like that. Do you realize that the next pope may be the false prophet? Do you understand that? Do you understand the filthiness in that whole system? I'm talking about what main news, what the main channels, the main media, which usually don't report the news, what they reported about the Pope, why he stepped down, and what was going on behind the scenes. If you've not seen that, you need to look it up. It's history unfolding right before our eyes, prophecy being fulfilled. I personally believe the next one's going to be the false prophet. It'll be interesting who gets picked. Watch it. It could be today. The false prophet. But we see the Lord's return could happen right now. The trumpet could sound, the shout could take place, and God's people are out of here. Right now. That's how close. But as soon as that happens, Antichrist, whoever he may be, is going to make peace with the world in Israel. Now, if you don't think the world's against Israel, you're still in the ostrich hole. I mean, your head is buried. The world is anti-Semitic. Europe is. The Middle East. Asia. Russia. The United States. Now, maybe not everyone, but the position of the governments are anti-Semitic. The day of the Lord is about the tribulation period. Notice verse 2 and 3. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now this generally refers to the 7-year tribulation period when God is going to judge the world, chasten Israel, and pour out His wrath upon religion and nations for their wickedness. In verse 2, this period, the day of the Lord, begins like a thief in the night. Now understand this. It speaks of a silence. In other words, there's no warning outside the warning you'd be giving that a thief could break in. That's why we have alarm systems and locks and security and maybe a dog or maybe a gun or something like that. Oh, I hope I didn't twist the minds of the young people in here. Guns are evil. You know the kid suspended for turning a Pop-Tart into a gun? Suspended. See, I would have shot the Pop-Tart at the teacher. I just ought to know. Anyway. Silence. And the tribulation will begin without fanfare, without worldwide understanding, without an announcement. Understand that. It's silence. And that's why you are lost. You need to be saved today. Notice he would say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. And the Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice verse 9, if you would. And even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because, it's talking about you lost folks, they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. Bible goes on and says here in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. For we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through the sanctification of Spirit, belief of the truth. Now notice there's silence here. There's a falling away first. That's our age. Well, I've been saved since 76, and I'm telling you that we had people saved regularly at Bible Baptist Church. There were people being saved. It was a different culture, different time. Today, it's hard. There's a great, great deception that's fallen upon our country. I think there are a lot of factors to it, which we're not getting into it right now. But there are a lot of people just numb. Just numb to the gospel. I'm talking about people come to church. Indifferent. And when the Antichrist comes on the scene, the rapture will have taken place. It's silent. There's no warning. It's not going to be front page. Raptures happen. We're all doomed. Oh no. The world is going to go after Antichrist as the best man to ever walk the face of the earth. They're going to love him. They're going to worship him. They're going to adore him. Say, preacher, who's the Antichrist? It's a man who's on the scene right now. He's in Europe. I don't know who he is, but he is filled, possessed personally with the devil, Satan. He's a demon-possessed man, but not demons, the devil. Second of all, we see not only the silence, but we see a surprise. Most of the world is not expecting or believing in the 7-year tribulation period. I mean, when you read chapter 6 to 19 of Revelation, it's hard to understand. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. But for the average person, you say, how is this going to happen? I mean, America, you know, the world's power and so on. But look, I'm telling you, that's going to change like that. It's going to change. It is changing. It is changing. And understand this, that something is taken. The God's people are taken off the face of the earth. A thief does not proclaim his arrival, his coming, his hour, his work, day or night. He's stealth-like. He gets in, he gets out. The taking away saints will be like that. It's going to be simultaneously with the tribulation period beginning. And this all happens as Antichrist makes peace with the world and with Israel. In Daniel 9:27, and he shall conform, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that's the 7-year tribulation period. It's spoken about as 1 week, 7 days, or 7 years. And it starts in verse 3. Notice peace and safety here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, when they shall say peace and safety. Think about Revelation 6, 2. And this is how it opens up. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist. He has a bow but no arrows. He comes in the name of peace. He's a peaceful man, they say. He's a man who's gonna work things out. And the Antichrist appears on the world stage as a problem solver, as a peacemaker, as a unifier. And yet he's a devil incarnate. The Bible says here in verse 3, notice peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh upon them. And this speaks about speed and surprise. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, notice the last part, is travail upon a woman child, and they shall not escape. Understand this. This travail upon a woman child is excruciating, painful. The tribulation period is the judgment of God upon the earth. Brother Randy, would you go to Isaiah 13 and read verse 6 or 11 in just a moment? Isaiah 13, 6 or 11. So we find here that there's tremendous suffering on the earth from the tribulation period. Now, well, let me just say this. Some people think, if I just get to Israel, climbing, you know, the Mount of Olives when Jesus returned, you're not going to make it there. It's not going to happen. I challenge you to read Revelation 6 to 19 this afternoon and see all the judgments upon the earth. What God's going to do. Isaiah 13, verse 6 through 11, please. So we find that no lost person is going to survive that who's in America. You're just not going to make it. And understand this, my friend, the lost person is not looking forward to the tribulation period. There's no way. So, yeah, you know, most people are putting it off. It's not today. It's not this week. It's not this month. Not this year. And I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, it can happen right now. It can happen right now. That's how close we are. And you miss the rapture, you are doomed for the tribulation period. And the Bible says here, I want you to see this in chapter 5, verse 3. Notice the last part of chapter 5, verse 3. And they shall not escape. Boy, I'm telling you, what a verse of Scripture. And they shall not escape. Understand, the Lord could call His children home right now. The rapture could take place right now. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. If this happened right now, if it happened right now, the unsaved will be left behind and they shall not escape. You understand that? There's no escape. Today, if something happens, you get a partner, you can go to the judge, you can work things, it can be a compromise, you can load the fine, they can say, we'll throw it out. You commit a crime, you may get off. You may get a probation. You can work a deal. But I'm telling you, when it comes down to the rapture, the taking away of the saints, if you are not saved, the Bible says, and they shall not escape. You're not going to get out of it. You're doomed. You're going to believe a lie like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. You're going to buy into it completely. And you may say, well, listen, I have Christian parents, been raised in a Christian home. I'm not going to believe that. No, you're going to believe the deluge. You believe it now. You believe it right now that you have time. And time is against you. Time is against you because you may die today. You may die today. And there's all sorts of ways to die. You can be as careful can be and drop over dead. God can just stop your heart because it's God sustaining you. It's not your health or your athletic ability or your physique or your talent or your taking one a day is keeping you going. It's God. When your appointment comes, there's no escaping it. Not only could you die today, the rapture could take place today. And you'll not escape. Because as soon as the rapture takes, the tribulation starts. And delusion is going to come upon you. You'll believe the lie. You'll believe what the world says. As much as you may say, I believe that Jesus Christ has come back. I'm not saved, but I believe it. You're going to believe a lie. They may have UFOs. They may have, some guy come out of a spaceship and say, we're friends. We want to enhance. We're taking all the evil people off the earth. Yeah. You don't think people, that's very possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's very possible. I mean, think what all that people believe. People believe in their feeling. I believe it's going to be a good day today. And what do you base on? I just feel that way. You throw your back out. You burn your finger. You wind up cutting yourself. You want to go to a hospital. I mean, all sorts of crazy things can happen. You can get a migraine and knock your socks off. I feel good. You can't trust your feelings. Your faith must be upon the Word of God. So understand this, that this could happen right now, today, at this time, before the service is over. Things are very intense in the Middle East right now. Iran wants to annihilate Israel. They want them to be wiped off the face of the earth. I just saw with the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, he said there's no more tolerance. We're not putting up with it anymore. I'm telling you, brother, you're going to see Israel and Iran very possibly go head to head, and all of a sudden the Antichrist steps on the scene. New false prophet. I mean, it's very possible. Very possible. We're in the scene. So I preach, I got a couple of days. I'm not saying that. They may start shooting weapons at each other today. They may do it right now. Stay off your iPhone. So we find here that this could escalate and the rapture take place. And as soon as it happened, the Antichrist could negotiate a peace treaty. And it's too late for you. For the Bible says they shall not escape. So if tonight, in the middle of the night, the Lord takes away His saints, those who are lost shall not escape. If you continue to believe you have time before the taking away of saints, it can happen, and there's no escape. And notice, that if you would, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, and notice the Bible says in verse 12, here's the problem. In verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You want your sin more than you want Christ. You say, that's not true, then repent. Amen. Then repent and believe the gospel. See, that's the problem. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Notice the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Watch this now. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They shall not escape. Hebrews 2:3. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In chapter 5, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians, and they shall not escape. In Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, and they shall not escape. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is consuming fire. And I'm telling you, His wrath is built and may be coming to an end. He's going to pour it out upon earth. And you do not want to be here. You don't want to be here. Say, preacher, this is very frightening. Good. Good. I hope it scares you out of your sin. I hope it scares you out of your lost condition. John said, he said, flee from the wrath to come. You ought to run to Christ today. You ought to come to Him with all your heart. You ought to repent of what you are and what you've done. And believe that Christ and Him alone is the only hope you have. And you may say, preacher, I've prayed the prayer, and it hasn't worked. Well, when you humble yourself, It'll work. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. God's not interested in your words. God's interested in your heart. That's what He wants. For with the heart, man believeth in righteousness. The third thing we see today, and we close, is the day of grace. And notice, if you would, back in our text in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. But ye, brethren, right now we're talking to the saints, it's on us, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. I hope God's people understand we're in the season of the Lord's return, that it can happen today. I hope you understand. I hope that's on your heart and mind. Paul promised a reward for those who love Christ appearing. That's what he said. I'm looking for the Lord's return. I want the Lord's return. I want to be here when He returns. I'd love to be raptured. I think it's going to be one of the greatest events ever. To meet the Lord in the air? Wow. What a privilege. What a privilege. Notice he goes on and says here, notice verse 5, again, here all the children of light, again speaking to us. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. And therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now notice just some thoughts quickly, and we'll close. We're not to be overtaken by a thief. So God has warned us. We should not be surprised at the rapture. We should be looking for it. Understand how close we are. There's some things that God wants us to do. In other words, there's much to be done for the Lord. Beloved, I have to tell you that we are going to work. We're going to get some things done before the trumpet sounds. We've got to get people out. We've got to get people saved. Not just here in the Holtzville area, but in New York City. I hope you're praying for Brother Inkstead. He's going in there again tonight. And going to be preaching to some Bangladeshi people are doing a Bible study right now about being saved. We need to pray for the power of God. And notice we find here that we're to be worshiping the Lord. We're of the day. We're to be worshiped. When's the last time you worshiped God? We're going to be walking with the Lord. Is that what you've been doing? You know what I'm doing? Walking with the Lord? We ought to be involved with witnessing for Christ. Did you pass out tracts where you were this past week, yesterday, last night, wherever you went, the grocery store, the gas station, wherever you've gone, are you talking to people about their soul? If people were saved at the rate that you're winning them to Christ, how long would it take to reach the world? Listen, beloved, the Bible says, and God's very plain, but ye brethren, verse 5, ye are all children of light. We're not to sleep. We are of the day. See, we're light. We're the light of the world. And we ought to be testifying for Jesus Christ. We ought to be working for the Lord. The Bible says our labor is not in vain. Now notice he's in verse 6, another admonition here. He says, we're to watch and be sober. Beloved, I like to have fun. I laugh. Our home has always been a happy home, laughing, enjoying one another. But beloved, there's boundaries to it. We become frivolous. The Bible speaks about foolish jesting, that everything is a joke. Now, I want to say this to you today. I know that many of us are in the workforce. We meet people on a daily basis. They have an opinion of you. I hope their opinion of you is not just fun and games, but that there's a sober side to you. Not just in church. Not during revival week. But on a regular basis. That you're really concerned about them, their soul, the things of God, the furtherance of the gospel, of people being converted. There's a time and place for humor, beloved. But the Bible says here, and of all the things he says, it doesn't say, make sure you laugh your head off before Jesus comes back. It doesn't say that. It says, watch and be sober. Why? Because there are souls that would be saved and could be saved if you, if I did our job in reaching them with the gospel. Watch and be sober. Are you watching your children? Are you leading them to Christ? Are you careful to watch your loved ones, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, the place at work, the people who attend the services here, are you interceding for them? Do you pray for the lost souls and all the different mission fields that we support? Watch and be sober. Again, there's nothing wrong with laughter. Laughter is like a good medicine. Time and place for it. But it should not be most of the time. It should be some of the time. Watch and be sober. Then we find here that we're not only to watch, but we're to walk. Notice verse 7 to 9. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love and helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called children of the light. We're called children of the day. In verse 6, he says, it speaks about walking and working and waiting. And we're not to be slumbering. We're not to be lazy. We're not to be goofing off. Now, again, I spoke Wednesday night about vacation. There's nothing wrong with vacation. But when we go on vacation, I'm always passing out trash, just in a different place. Different place, a different time. There's nothing wrong with getting a rest, getting a break from things. But the Bible tells us that we're to be always looking for opportunities. Think about the Son of God. They weren't coming to Him, He was going to them. The needs go through Samaria, on to the next town. Find Jesus those 3 years busy, working, preaching, praying, watching, sober. And we're not to be slumbering. We're not to be goofing off. Why? Because verse 9, God has not appointed us to wrath, to tribulation. But the Bible says here, to salvation. God is so gracious. God is so gracious to us. He says that He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, deliverance. It's not salvation in the sense of being born again. It's deliverance from this judgment. And beloved, the idea is this, the selfless life is this life. God saved me. I'm going to find someone else I can bring with me. So many Christians are so in a box of self. Your heart, mind doesn't even go past your nose at times. You're worried about you and you alone. You and yours. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Look on the harvest. It's ready. It's ready to be plucked. And you just think about me. So unChristlike. It's ungodly, for God so loved the world, His enemies, that He gave His only begotten Son, gave His best, gave Himself for others. And Christian, I say you need to do the same thing. Get out of your little box. Get out of your little house, your little world, your little decorations, your wardrobe. Get out of those areas that you live for. Start really realizing if you're saved, we're heaven bound. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. And it's our responsibility to bring as many people as possible. Well, they don't like me and they're mad at me. And I witnessed them before. I tried that again. So what is it, about 10 people in your world? How about your block? How about your neighborhood? How about across the street, across the highway, the next town? How about grabbing some flyers, if nothing else, and just hanging them on a door? Getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Beloved, this is a day of grace. It's about over. We're about to enter the day of Christ, the rapture of the saints. And once you get raptured, there's no more you can do for Christ than what you've done. And you'll be rewarded. You want something to lay at Jesus' feet. And then the day of the Lord, tribulation. Some of you have lost children. We do. And it's time to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Time to reach them with the gospel of Christ. The devil's got you all stirred up over things that are just so fleshly and they're passing. And you need to do the work that God wants you to do in reaching them with the gospel. Would you stand to your feet, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. And Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Bless this invitation.